Hello and welcome back. I'm Jim Tedder in Washington. Today we have two stories for you. The first one deals with the millions of lawbreakers in the United States who are serving prison sentences. Then, something fun. We'll meet a man who makes something by hand that was invented in ancient history. So, if you're ready, let's get started with part one. The United States has almost a fourth of the world's prison population, more than 2 million people. That number comes from the International Center for Prison Studies in London. Among the groups working to improve conditions for prisoners and guarantee their rights is the John Howard Association of Illinois. The association's work was recognized last month. The group received a $500,000 award from the MacArthur Foundation. As we hear from Ann Ball, the John Howard Association uncovers conditions that need to be changed and gives voice to prisoners' interests.
Ricky was jailed for murder and spent almost 35 years of his life in prison. The 59-year-old is now free from jail, but he has troubling memories of his incarceration.
I'll have to say, psychologically, you know, trying to endure day after day, week after week, you know, and watching your loved ones pass as the years go on.
Ricky also had to deal with problems and issues that prisoners face each day. Ricky lived in a small room with other inmates.
They would put you in a cell with someone you wasn't compatible with. But mainly, I would have to say, not having a voice and prison conditions, you know. Yep, overcrowdedness.
Jennifer Volen Katz is the acting executive director for the John Howard Association, or JHA. The group has been closely watching the prison system in the American state of Illinois. She says the system was designed for just over 32,000 inmates, but many more live there now.
We're somewhere in the neighborhood of 47,000 inmates within the state of Illinois Department of Corrections.
Jennifer Volen Katz says overcrowding, putting too many people in a small area, is a big problem. She says it can create unsafe conditions for both prisoners and people working at the jail. She says overcrowding leads to a lack of what she calls programming.
A lack of programming means that inmates are not able to use their time productively to gain skills, to do things that might increase their employment opportunities upon release. Not to mention just sheer boredom and missing your family and all of that being exacerbated by lack of productive activity and engagement, which is certainly a problem inside our prisons right now.
JHA watches over and reports on Illinois' prisons for adults and those for juveniles, where young people serve out their sentences. Ms. Volen Katz says the group's goal is to educate policymakers and the public about the truths of criminal justice policy.
We believe that there is importance simply in showing up and bearing witness and reporting our observations of what goes on inside prison to the outside world so that the outside world remembers that our citizens that are in prison are still our citizens, that these are still people, and that these are people that will eventually return to our communities.
Over the years, JHA has helped to influence major policy changes. For example, a recent report uncovered poor medical treatment of prisoners. The report led to public hearings on prison health care and an investigation of the Illinois Department of Corrections health care system. In 2009, JHA raised the importance of identifying and treating mental sickness among prisoners. One of its suggestions for preventing suicide was to do away with metal bunk beds in juvenile prisons.
It posed a great danger to those experiencing suicidal thoughts. And in report after report, we pointed out how dangerous this kind of furniture was. And not 100% yet, but pretty close to the furniture has been traded out to plastic molded bedding that doesn't pose the same dangers that the old furniture did.
The John Howard Association is one of nine nonprofit groups honored this year with a MacArthur Foundation Award for Creative and Effective Institutions. Ms. Volen-Katz says the award will help her group do its work because JHA does not receive any government money.
We received a $500,000 award, which is incredibly exciting for us in terms of our ability to build capacity, to increase our communications and outreach and get more support and to do more work. All of that is incredibly exciting and important for an organization of our size.
I'm Anne Ball.
You are listening to The Voice of America, and we are coming to you from Washington. People began riding horses thousands of years ago. Saddles for horseback riding were invented soon after. Today, many companies manufacture saddles, but it is rare to find someone who designs and makes these products by hand. American Keith Valley is one of the few. He has been making saddles, one at a time, for more than 20 years at Jackson Hole in the western state of Wyoming. Bob Doty reports.
The community of Jackson Hole is famous for skiing. But Jackson Hole and all of Wyoming is also known as cowboy country. Keith Valley grew up wanting to be a cowboy. He was influenced at a young age by Charlie Russell, an artist of the old American West. He says Russell's paintings and the adventures he wrote about kept him interested in the Western way of life for cowboys. Keith Valley worked on a ranch for a long time, but after some cold, hard winters and a few pains, the young man decided to get into saddle making.
Back in like 94 when I made my first saddle, and I was working horses and had ordered a saddle from a gentleman. It was just, in my mind, it was just taking him too long, so I just made the deal with him that if he gives me the supplies, we'd call it good, and then I would build it myself. So that's how I got started.
Mr. Valley has made more than 70 saddles since then. He does the work in Jackson Hole, but his creations go to buyers from California to Florida. He has a website, but says the social media site Facebook really helped his marketing efforts. He says saddle making was once a guarded craft. He says saddle makers in the past would throw a cover over their work when people entered their workspace. They did not want people to see what they were doing. But things are different in the information age. Keith Valley has videos about saddle making on his website. His work is on display, as is his equipment, hole punch.